And because of that, the women really rejected her. They were afraid of what she might do with their husbands. And of course, if they didn't want anything to do with her, they warned their children, don't you ever go near that woman. She's not worth your while. Just leave her alone. And so the children were chased away. And you know, even the community leaders rejected her. They didn't want her around because they felt that she was a bad mark in their community and a problem to them. She knocked around from one place to another and dealt with this and dealt with that for quite a period of time. And finally she decided, well, maybe I can find some peace back in my own home country. Maybe I've been away long enough that things have calmed down and maybe just it might be comfortable for me to go home again. And so she was back in her home environment. But there was a day, one day, when she was back in that home environment that she was certain was going to be her last day living on earth. You see, there were a couple of things that she hadn't learned about, at least it appears that she hadn't. One is that while she was off doing her thing, there was an itinerant preacher or teacher that had shown up in the area. And he, in his teaching, was creating quite a stir. There was quite an excitement around what he was doing. There were those who were in favor of it and those who were against it, but it was creating quite a stir. And the second thing that was going on is those community leaders that didn't want anything to do with Maria also did not want anything to do with that teacher. They wished that teacher would go away or at least quit teaching. And they were frustrated. What could they do? How could they handle this? How could they solve their problem? And they made a decision. And you know, sometimes when somebody wants to accomplish their goal, regardless of whatever else happens, they're going to do it their way. They will go to any means possible to accomplish their purpose. Even though the means are negative. And so they made a plan. One of their number agreed to be the guinea pig, if you please. And what he did was that he went and got involved with Maria. Purposely, intentionally, and definitely planned. And while he was there, the other of his friends came around and peeked. They saw him. They saw what was going on. And what they did is they grabbed Maria and didn't bother to put any clothes on her and dragged her off to this teacher. Now, at that time, the teacher had been out and he had a group of people around him that he was teaching. That's what his business was. That's what his activities were. And he happened to be near the church when he was teaching. And these community leaders knew that. So they drug her over there. And they proposed that she should be executed because of her crimes. Well, the teacher had more in mind than just Maria. When you stop and think about it, he had Maria in mind. But he also had in mind those who were dragging her there and condemning her. He also had in mind the class that he had been teaching that got interrupted because these people brought her in there. And he had in mind the special people that he was giving special training to that were with him wherever he went. Now, whatever he did had to be done in such a way that all of these different individuals would be pointed the right direction. That some wouldn't say, well, that was sure the wrong thing to do, or whatever. And so he stooped down and started writing in the dust on the floor. We don't know what he wrote. We can only guess. But as he wrote, he looked up and he said, "Whoever is free of wrong, whoever has not done wrong, you be the first one to start the execution process." And then he continued to write. And it's rather interesting that these accusers began to leave. And if you read carefully in that story, you find that they began to leave the oldest one first and then proceed until finally the youngest one also left. A very interesting chain of events. The teacher looked at Maria and he said, "Is there nobody here to condemn you?" Now that's an interesting statement, a question. Interesting from that word condemn. Because when you take that word apart, you find out that it means much more than it sounds like on the surface. The first three letters, C-O-N, means with. It appears, for instance, in that piece of the motor in your car out here, connecting rod. It's something that is with, that connects. That's C-O-N. The last part of the word really means hell. That's its significance. So the word condemn means with hell. It therefore means if I condemn you, I'm sending you to hell. And so the teacher is actually asking, is there no one here that's wanting to send you to hell? That's the significance of the question. And her answer is, no one, Lord. And he said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Now that reply is also very interesting. Because that teacher was not there to criticize and condemn anyone. And how many of us actually fall into the trap of being people who criticize and condemn others? We fall into that trap too often, too easy, too frequently. Something we need to examine about ourselves. And he said, I don't do that. He did not come for that purpose. He did not come with that goal in mind. He said, go and sin no more. By that very statement, he admitted that she had done wrong, that he knew she had done wrong. He knew what was going on. This was no surprise to him. But he just gave her the freedom to make the change in her life. He gave her the opportunity to live a different life. He was ready to wash away all of that that had taken place before. All of that that had sent her down the wrong path, that had plastered the stain in her life. He was ready for that to go away and for her to live a clean life. That was his goal. And by making that his goal, he helped each individual who was there, who saw, who heard, who was a part of that scene, to realize that he was ready to do the same thing for each one of them, whatever their circumstance in life might be. He gave hope to them as well as to Maria. And, oh yes, you know her name is Mary. That's because Maria is her Greek name. And that's why the difference. And so he gave her hope. Real hope. And when he did that, she realized that this definitely was not her last day. That she had some hope in the future. Some real hope. And every time after that she met Jesus, she was at Jesus' feet. Every time. When she was back home with her sister and her brother, and they were having a dinner party, she was at Jesus' feet. Later, when the two sisters called Jesus because their brother was so critically ill, and he finally came 4 days after the brother had died, she was at Jesus' feet. And later, when there was a special dinner party at her offending uncle's house because he had been cured of cancer. She came in and anointed Jesus' feet with perfume and with her own tears. And there was one more time when she was at Jesus' feet. One more time. Oh, but a special time. In fact, it was a painful experience for Maria. She had some real problems because she honored Jesus. She worshiped him. She put her life into his care and keeping. We really don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly when she learned that Jesus was being very wrongfully treated by the leaders of the church of her day. But somehow, some way, she had learned that they were taking him out to execute him. She must have been aware of at least some of the brutality that was done toward Jesus. When she first saw him, she couldn't help but see the marks of that brutality in his body. Whether she witnessed any of it or not, we don't know. But she was there. She and some other women were out there at Golgotha. They knew what was going on. And seeing what was being done and not being able to do anything to stop it, I'm sure must have cut Mary to the quick. Cut her very deeply. And she stayed by in spite of all of it. None of that brutality caused her to leave because she loved Jesus. And she saw as he was put on the cross. She watched him die. She saw what happened. She saw him laid in the grave late Friday afternoon. She knew that those who made the preparations and arrangements had to do what they did rather quickly, and that they had not been able to do everything. Besides, regardless of what they did, she wanted to show her love and her respect too. And so very early on Sunday morning, she made her way out to the tomb. She was the first one to show up at the tomb on Sunday morning. She had the ointments and things that she'd prepared with her, but she didn't know how she was going to get into that tomb. She could not possibly roll that stone away. And she went out there without the answer to that, because she figured something would happen. And when she got there, she saw that the stone had already been rolled away. She found out that he had already left the tomb. And she was shocked. She was surprised. And so she ran back into town to tell the others, they've taken his body away and I don't know where they put it. She didn't know that he had risen to life. His body was gone, that's all she knew. And so they ran back to the tomb. She came back with them. And when the others were there looking around, getting their information, and they finally left, she stayed. That was the last place she knew he had been, and so she wasn't leaving. And as she was there in the garden, she saw someone that she assumed was a gardener or something. And she asked him, did you take his body away? If this isn't a good enough place, I'll take care of him. There was Lazarus's empty tomb, and she could maybe use that. And when he called her name in his very characteristic manner, immediately she recognized who she was talking to. And just as immediately, she was at his feet again. Now, Jesus knew that he needed to go back to heaven to have his sacrifice signified in heaven. But he waited. He waited because he waited that unnecessary tears need not be shed. He waited to give Mary the good news himself, personally. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. God is love. Jesus is God. And Jesus' love knows no bounds, no limits of any kind. His love goes beyond anything we could possibly imagine. He loves beyond the events, the experience, the occasions, the circumstance. No matter what, he always loves us. I don't care what you have done in life, good or bad or both or otherwise, he loves you. I don't know what you think about yourself right now, about your life, about your relationship to Christ, about your understanding of his love. He loves you. That love is always there, will always be there, will never be other than there. His love is beyond anything any of us can possibly imagine. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And Jesus, before he returned to heaven on that quick trip, before he left Mary, he invited her to go to tell his disciples, and he even said, and Peter, the good news of his resurrection. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe, except I want to change that line. But he bids me go, for he loves me so. His voice to me is calling. And I invite you to sing together that hymn to close our service today. Hymn number 487.